I got a rental today. It's outside.
Oh, wow.
What'd you get?
It's a silver Ford Fiesta.
Fiesta?
Yeah, it's not a Fiesta. No, I got it because, like, I don't know exactly how long my car is going to be gone, but with what my insurance covers, I'm paying like 80 cents a day.
Oh, nice.
And I don't plan on driving. Now that's a Fiesta. Yeah, yeah. That's right. A savings Fiesta. The best kind.
Porque es muy rápido.
Yeah.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and the U.S. Ambassador to Great Britain, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, head of Quabity Assurance.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
In the 60s, I made love to many, many women, often outdoors, in the mud and the rain. And it's possible a man slipped in. Would be no way of knowing.
Okay, so every week we
I want to do a cartwheel. Real casual, like, not make a big deal out of it. But I know everybody saw it. This one stunning, gorgeous cartwheel.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, we're going to discuss Creed Bratton. But first, before we get to that, Cry Man Squaw, FNC, double time.
Cry Man Squaw, FNC, double time.
Cry Man Squaw.
Crisis Management Squad.
FNC, double time.
Front and center, twice as fast as you would normally go.
This is our segment when we talk about breaking news, important news regarding The Office. And of course, this week we are discussing the upcoming podcast, Office Ladies, where The Office's Jenna Fischer and Angela
Kinsey
are going to do a podcast about The Office.
Were you about to say Martin?
Yes.
How many people texted you this article?
Like 3 or 4. Yeah.
Yep.
They're like, hey, look, you got some competition.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What do you guys think about it? I'm excited.
I'm going to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. As an Office fan, I'm very excited. This is...
Our fans are going to have to carve out more time in their week for another
all time
Office podcast, I guess.
My immediate response to everyone who texted me this was, they're going to have to buy us out like the Michael Scott Paper Company. That was my canned response.
60,000.
I know. We should have immediately launched a large Twitter thing to just get one of them to notice that we exist. Just for a little like, hey, you know, there's already some Office podcasts out there. But hey, you know what? There's a lot of podcasts about a lot of subjects, and there's already a lot of Office podcasts.
There's already a lot of Office podcasts.
Yeah, truthfully, I am really excited about this. I'm sure they're going to have a ton of really great insight.
Yeah,
you know, excuse to re-engage with the show, I'm excited for. I think Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey seem to be off camera like best friends, like in real life, right?
That's so awesome because they play such great like enemies on screen.
But I'm excited for it, and I think it's Earwolf, so it's done very well. Like they have a lot of it's a big machine, Earwolf, right? A lot of cross promotion, a lot of very big popular shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it'll be great.
I think. It's nice that we at least have a backup plan that if everyone stops listening to our show, we rebrand our show as Office Ladies Gentlemen, where we discuss episodes of Office Ladies.
that's a good idea. Yeah. I like it.
Office Ladies and Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do that.
What a great idea.
I think you had
come to that.
You had a great thing about how it was similar to to true crime podcasts.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about? What was that?
Well, actually, this is a shout out to Anne, but she was like, you know, there's so many true crime podcasts. Like, there's room for a lot of true crime podcasts. And I was like, but they're not done by the criminals.
Talking about, like, yeah, when we did that heist back in 86, yeah. You know?
Like, I would listen. That would be the most popular crime show ever if it was done, produced by the criminals.
So a lot of people think this is how it happened, but let me...
let me set the record straight. Charles Manson.
It was late at night, 11:30. Big fella comes in hooting and hollering. I think Halpert had stolen his car. The big guy walks up. He's swinging a sock full of nickels. And then Schrute gets up. He's got a can of hairspray and a lighter. You're useless.
Way to tie it back.
But you know, when Alex and I used to host this Blazers podcast, the Rip Citizens, R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Rip Citizens.
Internet detectives, just try and find those episodes.
But there were a ton of NBA podcasts. There were a ton of funny podcasts doing exactly the same thing we were doing. You know, JJ Redick came out with a podcast while we were doing it, and he was great. It's just, there's always room for fun content.
Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, we want to keep doing what we're doing. Please let us know if you're listening. If you're out there.
Yeah,
yeah. I hope this doesn't impede on our great success already.
Office Ladies will be great in a way that is super exciting and kind of a bummer.
It is. It's really
for us three in particular.
Yeah, for the bummer only applies to us three.
Yeah, it's.
But we're gonna keep going for you at home. We're gonna keep going.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like if you and your friend or best friend both like applied for the same job or college or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And like your
they
friend gets it.
And they hire Jenna Fischer.
Hire Jenna Fischer instead, yeah. Or they get it and you don't, and you're like, I'm so happy for you, but gosh, I wish. I'm bummed.
Like Michael in the forest, we will continue on without ignoring every sign to the contrary.
Yeah.
Well, to kick off this week's discussion of Creed Bratton, I believe we're going to... jump to another segment that we do. Please leave a message for Andy Bernard.
Please leave a message for Andy Bernard.
Hi, this is Logan from Illinois, and a huge fan of your podcast. I'm 12 years old, and I think that I realized the tidbit that I don't think a lot of people have realized, and that is that in the grief counseling episode, Creed says to Michael that Ed Truck lost his head under when he flew under an 18-wheeler. I think that was just Creed thinking, Ed Truck, head truck, and then just piecing it all together in some weird way. I think you should definitely do an episode on Creed, and then tell me any other tidbits that you found that are really cool. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Bye.
My man.
That is so cool.
Isn't that, dude? I'm glad that we're listening to that after this news. Because that was such a heartwarming, like, this kid cares about us.
Yeah, thanks, Logan. Great. That means a lot to us, man. And that's also a super, like,
I never would have thought about that.
I've never seen that
never
on the internet. And I feel like you're absolutely right. It's totally a conclusion that, like, you found the logic that Creed used to jump to that conclusion. I think that's awesome, man.
Creed's not burdened by the truth.
No.
And I think this is an example. Yeah, maybe he's like, ooh, I got a great story.
I thought I was clever when I was like, oh, that's probably not how Ed Truck died because Creed just made something up.
Right.
But like Logan's gone a step further and figured out how Creed came up with that. So
Ed
that's
Truck,
awesome.
That's so funny. Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's true you say that because the reason Ed Truck died just like... Creed says that, and we never get any follow-up. We never get it confirmed, and that's a huge... That's like a crazy way to die, and it feels like we just sort of let it go, and so it would make sense that it's not real. It's not true. Well, he was an old guy. Probably just died.
Jan doesn't seem that worked up about the fact that he passed away. Not that, you know, it seemed like it was maybe more expected or like, you know, not, you know, it wasn't the tragedy that likely. Creed has invented, you know, perhaps.
Yeah. Kappa was
detated from his head. Yeah.
Now he has to, he's alone and dead without even his head to comfort him.
But I think Logan, that's a really great way to just sort of get into Creed as a subject.
Yeah.
And we're glad you suggested doing Creed.
Yeah, we've taken your advice.
Because we've done a lot of some big characters, you know, we've done Dwight, we've done Pam.
Yeah.
So it's nice to like, let's do Creed.
Let's talk about Creed.
And as I said, a man unburdened by truth who is, what role do you think he plays in the show?
Creed Bratton, well, a.k.a. Papa Smurf, a.k.a. William Charles Schneider, a.k.a. Wacky Weed Creed, and a.k.a. Jeff Bomondo. Jeff Bomondo.
Bomondo?
Do you remember that part? I found that on Dunderpedia.com.
I think you're making that up.
Shout out to Dunderpedia.com.
I think Creed put that in himself.
But I could not find it, but they listed that, and I trust them. But Creed Bratton, played by Creed Bratton.
That's his name.
Not only is Creed Bratton Creed Bratton's name, he was born William Charles Schneider, the actor Creed Bratton. And
I want to restate that for the listeners.
The joke within the show, so maybe if anyone doesn't remember, Creed makes a reference at one point to say that the last person who double crossed him was named disappeared, and his name was Creed Bratton. And then later, Creed says that whenever he's... Oh, it's in the episode Money. He tells Michael to declare bankruptcy. He says that he's never declared bankruptcy. When he's in trouble, he transfers all his debt to William Charles Schneider. And he holds up a passport with his picture that says William Charles Schneider. I don't know if that's his actual passport. I don't know if you're legally allowed to show a real passport on a TV show. I'm sure it's fake. But
so the man, William Charles Schneider, changed his name to Creed Bratton and then played a man named Creed Bratton.
Right.
Who uses his identity
as
William Charles Schneider when he's bankrupt. Right.
So, man, time is a flat circle.
Sure is, man. Creed is a really interesting guy. Again, the actor, not the character. Creed Bratton, maybe back then as William Charles Schneider, left college to just become a traveling musician, went over to Europe and the Middle East and traveled around like hitchhiking, doing drugs,
playing music,
playing folk music. Yeah, playing folk music. And then in Israel was playing a folk music festival. Met a guy, and they formed the group The Grassroots, which is kind of his famous band. And after that followed a lot more of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was watching this interview with Creed where he's on a show called Rover Morning Glory, and he's talking about all the things he's done. He talked about injecting like a frog gland into his forehead, into his third eye, as he called it. So he's done, the guy himself is kind of lived this crazy life that is the fictional Creed Bratton seems to have lived also.
Yeah.
So
Ryan Howard said he was the most, Ryan Howard, BJ Novak said he was the most like the character.
He,
out of anyone in the cast.
That's
he
funny.
Seems
that's
outrageous.
Yeah.
Eventually, the Grassroots kind of fell apart due to, I guess, the Wrecking Crew, which is these famous musicians who started to just record everybody's studio albums for them. So Creed left the group because he didn't like that. And in this interview about his crazy, crazy life, he states he has absolutely no regrets. He seemed to get a kick out of recounting all these wild stories.
Nice.
So he's a totally wild guy. In the show, of course, Creed Bratton in the show is basically a fictional version of himself, which I don't think that anyone else is really doing in the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Creed in the show plays this, you know, his role evolves and emerges so much. He starts as a character who just says this one little random thing here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically just an old guy, right?
Yeah.
Who, like, is quiet. He kind of plays that role of, like, an older guy in the office who doesn't speak much, but when he does, it's, like, really strange and very unexpected.
Yeah, in this interview, which is really great to watch, it's on YouTube if you want to check it out, Creed is talking about how he was on the Bernie Mac show, and he heard about The Office, and he met... maybe it's Ken Kwapis. I think we talked about an episode directed by him.
Kwapis.
That's great. He said he really wanted to do the show, so he recorded his own talking head because, of course, the Ricky Gervais show was already out at this time, so he kind of got the idea. So he recorded his own talking head, and they came up for the part for him in Halloween and... all these other
things. He must have been in the sort of periphery people that were floating around season one, beginning season two, and then they culled the cast down, and they gave him a line. I mean, in Halloween is his first lines of the show.
Right.
When he actually talks. Right. And the fact that they fire Devin, not Creed, is the reason he's on the show for the rest of the run.
Right. Right.
Well, and it's funny, too, that so that's Creed's like first line, his first appearance. Right. And he's kind of just brought up as a random person. But he's like, he's standing up for his own job. He says, I am better at my job than Devin.
Yeah.
Right. When you compare that to the way that Creed treats his job for the rest of the show.
Oh, he was totally
BSing. He never
BSing
stands up to
Michael.
Fight for it. Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, what's also funny is Creed Bratton, the actor, was talking about how he came up with a backstory for Creed, which was that he had lived the same life that he had lived, traveling as a musician in Europe and all these things. And he takes too many psychedelic drugs and winds up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ed Truck picks him up and gives him a job. And after that, he just continues to live that life.
If I may, his final line of the entire show echoes what you say, which is, it all seems so very arbitrary. I applied for a job at this company because they were hiring. I took a desk at the back because it was empty. But no matter how you get there or where you end up, human beings have this miraculous gift to make this place home. Let's do this.
And then they the cops, and then police the cops escort him out of the building.
And his first line in the show is, huh?
What is Creed's role in the office? What part does his character play?
So I think Creed starts out in this kind of weird old guy, says weird stuff every now and then. It's like, what did you say? Like that kind of thing, right? And then he has small lines like that. Like in the Christmas party episode, I think he says, when I was a child, I was in an iron lung. And Michael just goes, how old are you? Right. And then in Take Your Daughter to Work Day, he says, they're like, hey, let's go see Creed. And Creed says, hey, kids, you ever seen a foot with four toes? They're like, no, we're not going to see the four-toed Creed. You know, little lines like that. Yeah. Kind of are his thing. And
in the Christmas episode, he gives Jim that shirt in a plastic
too
bag.
Short, with the sleeves are way too short, right? And I think just
well, let's not forget when Jan is describing how she wants to have a water birth. He's going to say it's going to be like the tides at Normandy.
Must have been like the tide at Omaha Beach.
Omaha Beach, yeah. Implying that he might be old enough to have been a soldier in World War II.
That's a little later in the show, but. Agreed. Like, he just has these weird one-off moments, and his role changes from being this sort of older guy at the periphery to being like, he's comic relief in a show that's already a comedy. You know what I mean? He provides this weird release of tension and strangeness in a show that's about some of the things that are really mundane and small, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that he can come in and be like, Ed Truck, like the Ed Truck head truck thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was drunk as a skunk. He was flying down Route 6. He slid onto an 18-wheeler. Pow. His head popped right off, you know?
He's got a great imagination.
Right. Just he brings this like real sort of strange.
He brings chaos, really.
Yeah.
He's
got a lot of anarchy in
him. Has anyone ever seen these images in Diwali? He goes, that's Union of the Monkey.
It's great that you bring that up, Alex, because I had to hear in Dungeons and Dragons or in other games like that, you have character alignments. You can be lawful or neutral and chaotic
I stutter?
So I had Creed as chaotic neutral.
You've been meatball.
Oh my god.
That's true. He is neutral and he is chaotic.
Yeah, he's neither good nor evil.
Disagree.
Pure. You think he's evil?
I think he's a terrible, terrible person.
I think he's entirely harmless, besides getting that one woman fired and maybe murdering some people.
Okay, but you can't say...
Really slip that in under the radar.
Except for murder, robbery, he's a completely cool guy.
We're going to get into this. Within the universe of The Office, he's...
A terrible, terrible person.
But going back to the role of Creed in the show, right? Mike Schur, who was showrunner, I think, season 2, plays Cousin Moe's, right? Creator of The Good Place, helped create Parks and Rec, etc. He described stupidity as the nuclear bomb of comedy, right? Like, the stupidity is like the easiest, or maybe not the easiest way, but it's like the most simple way that you can get a laugh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in The Office, so much of that comes from Michael.
Right.
And sometimes from Dwight, and sometimes from Kevin, right? But Creed is a different sort. He plays that same sort of function, but it's not by being stupid. It's by being strange and random and off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the unknown.
Saying the craziest things you can possibly imagine.
He's like a decoration or a weird thing in a house when you move in that someone didn't take out and you just kind of keep it out. Or like, this is a weird thing. And you just sort of...
I have
that weird elephant in the bathtub that was just in the basement of my old house.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is odd, but yeah. I like it and I'm going to keep it in my living room now.
We're not going to question it.
Yeah. It's weird. It doesn't fit with anything else in that room, but mm-hmm. it's just an object that I can't help but kind of look at. Mm-hmm. So
it's mm-hmm. like a painting of clowns that is somehow crucial to the structural integrity of Jim's parents' house.
That's Creed.
Yeah.
That is Creed.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great metaphor.
Yeah. And it makes sense that you inherit a Creed. Like, Michael didn't hire Creed. He's the only one Michael didn't hire there. Mm-hmm. The office inherited him, and mm-hmm. he's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into this later, because I think we're going to have some debate on this episode, because as I've said in the overrated, underrated episode way back when, I think Creed's very overrated. I don't think he fits in the show.
I don't think we released that episode.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Ooh, I don't know if we did.
I think we did. Anyways.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to our next talking point.
Listen to Office Ladies.
Creed's major relationship.
No, don't. We'll release overrated, underrated.
We have another bullet point on our character sheet here. Major relationships, friendships, romantic, professional. Mm. Almost like none.
Yeah, he's kind of a one-man department, similar to Kelly.
He relates to everyone the same way he relates.
Equally strangely.
Yeah, we didn't strange old man.
We didn't release that episode.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We never will.
Well, hint. I think Creed's overrated. I don't think it fits on the show. And I think he's a terrible person.
All right.
We'll talk about it later.
All right. Let's get into it.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
So we've established Creed's role in the show. In terms of major relationships, he doesn't really have any. He's just kind of a floating character kind of on the periphery, right?
Right.
And then we've talked about this a little bit already, but when and how do they enter or leave the show? So Creed enters. He's around in season one. He kind of enters in the Halloween episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes his dramatic exit when he's escorted out of the office by police.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. It is interesting to think that Creed is there for the whole run, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of characters that are similarly like tertiary, right?
Mm-hmm.
That aren't primary, secondary. They're just part of the ensemble. Like, a lot of them join a lot later, mm-hmm. you know? Or they get bigger roles later on. You don't see them in season one, really, but Creed is there the whole way.
He kind of remains the same. Like, he's always kind of the crazy old man.
Him and Meredith, I think, are the two that occupy that space.
When do you think, what is the point that we realize that he is crazy or is, you know, sort of a bizarre person?
I think season three is when that sort of starts to happen. He just gets more lines. He has more moments, right? And then, like, it's just kind of, he's just featured more. He's on screen more.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things about Creed that I kind of noticed in rewatching some of these episodes and moments is how funny he is just playing these really understated little moments. Like, there are really funny Creed moments where he doesn't talk. He's just in the background, mm-hmm. right?
Does anyone have fermented mare's milk? The ferocity with which he actually checks his drawers and shakes his head at Dwight is so funny.
There's a part where, just speaking of those, like,
gives a genuine look.
Creed making, like, being hilarious without speaking. When the Michael frames Toby and puts the caprese salad in his desk and calls the cops, and the cops come in and they're like, we heard that, you know, someone's got drugs at work. And then the camera pans over to Creed and he's got his hands up.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, casually, like, puts them behind his head like he's just stretching or something. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
I'll give you a relationship for Creed. Not huge, but big in Creed terms, right?
Okay.
Creed and Ryan, okay? Because Ryan has his seat near Creed. There's a moment in the conflict resolution episode where Michael is airing out all the beefs with everyone. He's airing out everyone's problems, and he says, "Creed, Ryan, you told Toby that Creed has a distinct old man smell." And Creed sits back with this like really self-satisfied knowing look. He's like, I sprout mung beans in my desk drawer and a damp paper towel. Very nutritious, but they smell like death. And in the scene, while he's talking over it, he's pouring the mung beans into his mouth and he's like missing his mouth, right? Like, and then Ryan is also the person who sets up Creed Thoughts. www.creedthoughts.gov.
Yeah.
www.creedthoughts.
Right. It's... what does he say about it? Even for the internet,
it's pretty much. I looked at the insert, like which is the scene where you it's when you're writing. It's like insert, and you want to show what's written on a piece of paper, what's on the screen, right? And it says, "Hello, everyone out there in cyber world," and it's spelled like Syber.
Yeah.
He's like, "It's Creed here, quality assurance manager at Dunder Mifflin, here to share my thoughts with you." And it says, "What kind of car do you guys think is best? For me, you can't go wrong with motorcycles. They're small and dangerous."
To answer your question, Sean, I think the first moment we find out Creed's a real weirdo is when he wins the mini fridge at Casino Night.
I was going to say,
says, "This is great. I've never owned a refrigerator before."
And it's even maybe even slightly before that, where we see a montage of him stealing chips.
Yeah,
at the
I love stealing.
What can I say? I love stealing. Like
Exhibit A for Creed's a terrible person.
It's like a proud hobby of his.
I don't know if that's in this episode when they're in the Casino Night episode where they're talking about charities. Or in another episode, but they're talking about which charity to donate to. And Creed's like, there's a men's shelter.
Yeah.
You know, they have a great pea soup on Wednesdays.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe
we know
that's,
he's been homeless and is potentially homeless. He lives by the quarry.
The only difference between Creed and a homeless man is his job.
He has this really unique sort of survivor's instinct that kicks in at random times. During the product recall episode in season 3, when Michael calls him out, he's like, "Creed, you really screwed the pooch on this one, buddy." He's like, "This was your job, you know, and now the company might go down." And Creed engineers this whole scheme where he gets this woman, Debbie Brown, on one hand, he gets her fired for not being there.
Right.
And the phone call, he's like, "I was trying to figure out who wasn't there last week. Do you know who he or she was?"
Yeah. Right?
And
what day was that?
Wednesday,
Debbie
11th.
Brown.
Yeah. But at the end, he not only gets her fired, but he passes around a goodbye card for her and asks people to kick in some money.
Creed is a terrible person.
But you know, what I will say, like, to, I guess, my defense in that he's harmless, is that they only gave a few bucks and none of them know who Debbie Brown is. Mm-hmm. So no one would really
care. You tell Debbie Brown that he's harmless.
He also runs...
you tell Debbie Brown he's harmless.
I don't know who she is.
Creed also runs a fake ID business out of his car with this laminator he stole from the sheriff's station.
Does he say car or van? I can't remember.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Because he drives
car.
He drives that big-ass Cadillac, right? Mm. Is that a Cadillac?
I'm not sure. I thought that was Stanley who drives that big.
No, he's got that big old white car.
Mm-hmm. It says car in the Dunderpedia.
It does?
By the way, he's running that with a laminator he stole from the sheriff's department. So.
Right.
Exhibit C. I can keep going.
Yeah, sure. For the sake
Creed's
of comedy.
You think Creed's harmless? We're talking about a comedic character on a comedy sitcom. I get that. I understand that. I'm just diving into that world. And if you live in that world, Creed is very harmful.
Some of it we don't know if it's really true or not. I guess until the very finale when we find out that he's actually a wanted man.
I think
man.
That seals the deal.
Right.
The FBI. Not the police. The FBI arrest Creed Bratton.
Can I be honest? Sometimes I don't even consider the finale canon because I hate
Whoa.
It so much.
Topic for another day.
It's going to be
I don't know.
I really thought Alex was
trending
towards the hottest take. Because here you are.
Dropping bombs, bro.
Well, look.
I see your season 2 fire and raise you Dwight's season 6 fire.
Okay. I think that I just like Creed better as a mysterious character, right? And I didn't think it was necessary for them to... be like, yeah, by the way, like everything he said was true. Like, I love like being like, maybe he's just crazy.
I fall somewhere in the middle between you guys. I think on one hand, like, Creed is too silly to really be viewed as, like, an evil, menacing figure. On the other hand, he clearly, like, you know, is on the wrong side of the law with so many things and has this very, very loose or at least ambiguous moral code. I don't think, for example, Alex, that you can write your 14 reasons why Creed Bratton is actually the worst BuzzFeed article. I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, no way.
He's too weird.
No one's, he's coming
too weird
me.
For it to upset anyone or for anyone to really react to it too much. But
our, friend Colin might be the only one that agrees with me, and maybe he put the wind in my sails for this one.
Yeah,
because we talked about this, and he was like, "Yeah, Creed,
yeah, Colin can do that." Yeah,
Colin, who says Colin, that Dwight is just this humble man who's trying to do his job.
Yeah,
he might have a point. He might have a point.
Someday, maybe we'll argue about that with him.
We already did. He already called it in.
Yeah, it's true.
That's right.
And he wasn't here to refute us at all, which is great.
That's how it should be.
I when I was like looking at Creed, Creed is less a character with like these very well defined personality traits, and more just a series of lines and sentences and moments and things from his past. You know,
yeah.
It's really strange to see a character that way, where you just get these little clues about who they are,
right?
And to not have him be like, well, I feel this way about this person, or I feel this way about this person, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's very.
He's been both a follower and a leader in cults.
He just comes around and he says people's names wrong, and he just like chimes in with this really random stuff. The guy was just hanging brain. What's wrong with that?
If that's flashing, lock me up.
The guy was just hanging brain. I mean, what's all the fuss?
I think that counts towards your argument, Alex, more than some of the other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
if I can't scuba, then what's this all been about?
That's a perfect example where he's like,
yeah.
When Michael, well, that's one. That's his gossip.
Right.
That's
the
rumor that gets spread about Creed.
Yeah.
But in the surplus episode, or no, the chair model episode where Michael loses his chair, Creed is like
two chairs.
Yes.
Only one to go.
Why? Why does he need three chairs? No, no.
That's so great.
That's the only one to go is the perfect line.
It is. Yeah.
Cut it there. Yeah.
And let me be clear. I really appreciate the mystery of Creed. I really appreciate the chaos he injects into the entire show. I really do. My only argument is that, and this maybe this is the reason why why people like him and it works, is he's really not a part of the fabric of The Office. He's really not in any meaningful plots outside of Product Recall.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That is literally like the only...
Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Creed Bratton acting manager. Or it's YK Street acting manager.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's Creed as the manager.
Right.
Right. And, you know, we watched that episode with the deleted scenes and there was a lot more of Creed, but in the final cut, there's not...
True.
It's not really that much about him.
Yeah. And so that's my main issue with Creed is he's... He's used, I feel like through seasons 2, 3, 4, he's really like used well. And he just sort of over time becomes a parody of himself to me. He just, they keep doubling down on this, like, let's make him weirder and more mysterious and weirder. And that's what happens on a show. I get it. I get it.
Like,
but I feel like with Creed, it just, after a while, he lost his luster to me. And it's just, it's like, oh, insert weird thing Creed says
here.
Well,
definitely. How about in the episode Murder? When they're playing the game and Creed comes late to work and walks in and says, "Hey, boss, sorry I'm late. What's going on?" He says, "Sir, there's been a murder and you are a suspect." He says, "Okay, let me just settle in and I'll be right back." And then he runs out to his 80s Lincoln Town Car,
nice.
Which I looked up, and screeches out of the parking lot. Now, that's
what
really,
does that imply, Sean?
That implies that, yes, he doesn't want to be suspected of murder. Does it necessarily say he's done?
It implies he's been around a murder.
Or that he's got the instinct to run.
Uh-huh.
And then, but in season 9, when he comes to Halloween, just sprayed with blood, and tells Plop that he didn't remember it was Halloween, mm-hmm. that is too on the nose
I'll rest my case right there, Sean. Thank you.
Still, we don't know whose blood it is, you know.
Was it animal?
Could have been another bad guy.
Could have been an animal.
Yeah.
I think
right.
I think that would be much I think your better. Negative reading of Creed is taking away from how funny he is.
This isn't a fun opinion. I know. I want to reiterate that. I'm not taking away from Creed being funny.
Real hit job.
I understand he does have a lot of things I laugh at.
How about this?
I'm just saying he doesn't really fit in the show, but that doesn't mean he's not funny. That's all.
How about this? In the webisodes, there's a series called Blackmail where Creed blackmails several people in the office.
What a terrible person.
And by the end of it, everyone just decides to just pay him because he's only asked for like $6 from each of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, yes, sure. Like, his morals are definitely questionable at the very least, but it's harmless, I would say, in the end.
There's a moment in that webisode series where he tries to blackmail Oscar with this movie, and it's just scenes of Oscar in the office intercut with scenes from Milk.
Yeah, that's right. Completely ruined Gus Van Sant's masterpiece for Oscar.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are we talking about this character? Like, why? Like, just try to wrap it up. Like, now that we've got... Yeah. Or, like, try to bring it home, per se.
Yeah.
Right? Why Creed? Like, why... Yeah.
He's fun. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, Creed is interesting because he never has a plot line, besides maybe Halloween and maybe... But even then, like, he's not... That's Michael's storyline, right? Halloween. And Product Recall, it's still, like, he's still, like, a very, very small part of that. In either scenario, doesn't really interact with too many people in the office while it's getting worked out. So I think that's interesting that, you know, but he's always there.
Playing solitaire
on his computer, getting in, you know, a little one-liner just to throw you like off a little bit.
Who's your worm guy?
I love that even when the show is in its more serious or phase, in the early seasons when the tone isn't as bright and silly and the colors aren't as bright and not every character gets to have like this crazy funny storyline, Creed can interject this sort of weirdness, this strangeness, this sort of funny one line, and he can be that little ingredient that just kind of helps the show, you know, feel more full or help the cast feel more full at a time when it's less focused on the ensemble and more focused on Michael, Dwight, Jim, and Pam.
Right.
And that's, I think, the beauty of Creed. And as I was rewatching to kind of prep for this, like I definitely gained a new appreciation of Creed. I think the sort of understated reactions to things, I know we talked about this already, but like there's a moment in season 6 where Dwight starts his fire, right? And everyone's freaking out and everyone's running. And there's a moment at the end where it's, you know, Dwight throws the firecrackers and Phyllis says, "What's that?" And Andy goes, "The fire is shooting at us." And then we see Oscar's legs drop out of the ceiling.
Yep.
And it's just Creed turns to the camera and the look of horror on his face is just so funny.
Yeah.
And another one that I found, and this is actually one of my, like, I laughed really hard at this. And the reason I love watching The Office again and again is because of things where you go back and pay a lot more attention, you find more things to laugh at. But it's when they're singing the theme for Michael's commercial and the theme for our show. Out of paper, out of stock, right? And he goes, call Michael and Stanley, Jim, Dwight, Creed. And Creed, when it gets to Creed, he like looks up and points at himself. He, like, looks, and then it goes, and call Andy and Kelly. And Kevin starts pointing at Kelly because he's standing next to Kelly, right? And then they're so into it. And then it cuts to Michael. And Michael's just like his face, his true disappointment is so visible.
Let down
they're playing
by that
such
song.
A nice song that involves all of them. And Michael is so
Speaking of. Then they do the second version of that song. Yeah. Maybe we might record that at some point.
That's true.
Sure,
out of paper.
I want to piggyback off that just because I'm saying, like, I don't think he fits in the show, it doesn't mean I don't appreciate Creed. I do like him. He has a lot of really funny moments. He's sort of, and another analogy for Creed, like the weird piece of furniture you leave in your house, is like, so a few years ago, I had the chance to go to like a really super, super fancy dinner, like a 15-course, you know, these, like, you know, where they bring you out like one bite of a crazy food and you're just like,
Moose Boosh.
You're like, this is incredible. And that was happening all night. And then like 10, 11, 12 courses in, they just brought out, they're like, this is our homemade bread and butter with chicken drippings on it. And it remains to this day the best thing I've ever eaten. But it was like in the middle of this fancy stuff, they're like, here's just some bread and butter to like reset your palate, to kind of fill you up and to move you to the second half of the dinner. And I feel like Creed is that. He's kind of a palate cleanser. He's just sort of this like, he comes in out of the orbit, says his thing, and he's out.
He sort of breaks the moment for a second. Like there's that scene where, I mean, he does it a lot of times. When they're arguing about who or whom, I think, is when it just cuts to Creed watching everybody and just cuts to a talking head where he just goes, great minds battling it out.
Yeah.
And I've got a front row seat.
It's just like, what?
He's like
what
stepping outside. He's like stepping outside for a cigarette at a crowded house party.
Yeah.
You're just like, I just need 5 minutes outside of this party. And again, I reiterate, like, that's why, like, he's not a part of the ensemble, it feels like, but maybe the show needs that.
I mean, I was trying to think of like a similar type of character in other shows, right? Like, I don't know, like just these people who are kind of on the sidelines who are, who just don't you kind of look like, it's just like, what, you know, what's going on over there? Okay. Mm-hmm. Never mind. I don't know if I came up with any good ones, but
first of all, I think your cigarette metaphor is really good for Logan.
I was going to say, I was just thinking, I was going to say, Logan, don't no vaping. You step outside for a stick of gum.
Yeah, you buried a jewel in this episode.
You take a call outside just to get away, but really no one called you. You just need to go be outside for a bit.
The character that I would compare Creed to is Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons. Where he comes in with
Edwin
these
coming
really,
in with a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, these really... he just comes in and says these really, like, they're almost zen kind of little one-liners. Like, my cat's breath smells like cat food. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I think it begins this way a little bit. But sometimes, like, Andy Dwyer on Parks and Rec, a little bit. Obviously,
oh, I was going to give you another Parks and Rec one.
Go ahead.
When Billy Eichner joins the show.
Okay, sure.
Like, it's sort of like he just yells something crazy, and then everyone looks at him and then turns back to what they were doing before. It's like they don't even address him very often.
I think The Office itself, to give a comparison to another character in The Office, there's a moment where, like, if the premise behind Creed is that Creed is this guy who works in The Office but has this interesting story, right? There's at the end of, in season six in the Happy Hour episode, it's like, Daryl's like, hey, did you talk to Hide? That guy is super interesting. He has a really interesting life story. You know, and then at the end we get, in Japan, Hatsujin, number one, steady hand, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same sort of thing where you can throw to someone who's, you know, you paid bushes, right?
Yeah.
we never, but like, we never really get that with, like, we never get a story from Creed that's like, here's my life story. We get these little... You get these little mosaic tiles over the course of nine seasons, and you kind of have to make your own little picture out of quarry stones.
Wow. We should go to the quarry and throw things down there.
Straight up, man. I would.
He just comes at things from random angles, right?
Yeah.
A lot of jazz cats are blind. A lot of them can play the piano. I'd like to put Pam behind the piano and see what she can do.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see her topless.
Yeah.
Topless Swiss Miss. Spanish tapas with Swiss Miss hot chocolate. Yeah. What's so hard about that?
Do you have a favorite Creed moment?
Man, I don't know.
I played my favorite Creed moment in the drop at the start of the episode, which is his reaction to the entire... Because again, it's a palate cleanser. Like all of these people debating are like everyone, Michael freaking out about everyone being gay and then him just being like, who cares? I make love to people. I made love to a lot of women.
You know,
maybe a man.
You know what's pretty funny? I think that is Creed Bratton, the actor's favorite line too. He did it in another little interview I was watching where they asked him what his favorite line is.
Yeah,
A couple come to mind. Number one, I can't believe we haven't talked about this, but when he tries to be young, when he puts the printer
in November,
I'll be 30.
You
right?
know what? Real quick, I did also catch it during Fun Run. He says he lies about his age again. I think. when he's signing up and he's like, I'm in the plus 75 category. Yeah. And Jen is like, you're over 75? And he's like, 82 in November. So he sticks with his, November. Keeps his birthday in November at least.
Hey, then the Normandy or Omaha Beach checks out.
Right.
Just, I love that he pretends to be young. And he's like, sometimes he's like, hey, man, can we get some Red Bull in these vending machines?
Yep.
Sometimes guys just got to ride the bull.
All right, later, skater. Right. And there's like, speaking of something similar that Logan kind of alluded to with the head truck, Ed truck, which still is so funny. I can't believe I never put that together.
So good.
There's a moment where somebody's like, hey, our printer's out of ink. Or like, there's something like that. And like, it's Creed who, you know.
Creed, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the black toner in his hair.
The real, I think all of my favorite Creed moments can be kind of summarized in when he calls people the wrong name, right?
Yeah.
In that episode, he's like, you know, we either get rid of the kid, Michael, or it's you, me, Sammy, Phyllis, the woman you hit with your car, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Or never knows Meredith's name.
When Meredith
Andrea's
gets
the office bitch.
Andrea is kind of the office bitch. He goes, hi, I'm Creed. Right. He sits down.
That's a great moment.
To finish her bowl of cereal. Yeah. But then when Meredith is stuck with the bat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Creed says, good night, Mary Beth. Right, as they're walking out, right? And there's another moment in the episode is Job Fair in season 5 when Dwight goes to the bathroom and Creed calls Angela and he's like, hey, Pumpkin, it's Creed. We're going to ditch this bitch. You in? And she goes...
That one's great.
She goes, no. And he goes, you're out? And she hangs up the phone and goes, all right, gang, Pumpkin's out. Let's get it, gang.
It's like, yeah, wait, that's the first time, too, that Creed's like in charge of everybody in the office.
He's coordinating.
They were all waiting on his call.
Pumpkin, yeah, yeah.
The, of course, eating the potato.
Eating the potato, thinking
classic
it's an
moment.
Apple.
I was going to say in Blood Drive, Michael is like, oh, no one signed up. I mean, Creed signed up twice. And Creed says, oh, it was to receive the blood, as if you just sign up and get a bag of blood and you see him stealing two bags
of blood later on. He's got bags of blood in his
moment. Well, he doesn't say anything. You just see him doing something.
Yeah.
At the end of season 6, when Daryl is pranking Andy about the printers blowing up, Creed walks by Andy and just runs his finger across his throat, right?
Yeah.
And Creed's like, Darnell offered me $3 to walk by Andy and do this. And he's like, Darnell's a chump. I would have done it for anything. I've done a lot more for a lot less.
That's really
so
good.
Proud of himself.
Or
so
a similar moment. Somebody gives Creed a Toblerone and he goes, what's going on? Why do I have this long triangle?
One of my favorite Creed moments is actually a blooper, and it's, they're all in the
I have a feeling.
Okay,
I know
they're all in the break room, and Dwight is eating all of his reserves that are about to go bad from his bomb shelter, and he's telling everyone what they'll be after the apocalypse, and then Creed just goes, "What about me?" And he's like, "Your skull will be made a soup bowl," and then Creed just goes, cool. And Rainn Wilson cannot keep it together, but Creed is just cool. Every time delivers it exactly the same. Never breaks. Like, only you see him break like just after Rainn Wilson like several takes still can't keep it together. Like, Creed thinks that's kind of funny, but otherwise just like perfect delivery, very consistent. Which was just like, that's such, like, I was like, man, he's like he's very deliberate with what he does.
One last thing on Creed is that Robert California has him on his list of losers as old man.
That's right.
That about sums it up, right?
Oh my gosh,
that about sums it up.
It's about time for favorite moments. I got one more is when he is manager, obviously.
Oh yeah, that whole thing. I can't believe
entire segment is incredible. And as
welcome
I was
to Dunder Mifflin, or as I call it, Great Britain. Leave a running. He just throws his
keys
out
to nothing.
Yeah,
Bow body.
What does the first B stand for?
I like it.
Business. He's like, on this side of the room, Elroy. Todd, Sandy,
When he's talking to Pam on the phone, Pam is pretending to be their top client, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna, you know, business is bad. I'm starting my own business or something like that. And he's like, okay, but don't tell anyone. Wouldn't want you to be a dead mamma jamma.
Or when Pam is talking as both clients and she's like, yeah. I love paper and I all things paper, right? He's like, you sound like my other best client.
It's kismet. It's
kismet. Jordana, get our top clients on the phone, ASNB.
ASNB.
All right.
All right. Well,
it's funny that we wrapped with a favorite moments about Creed, because that's all you really have with Creed, is just a series of moments.
It's just a series of moments.
Yeah,
that's what exactly who he is. Hey, and you I know like what? The simplicity of that.
In the end of the BBC office, Tim, wrapping up the whole show, says, like, what is happiness? He's like, life is a series of moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. And for Creed, life is a series of moments. A
series of moments.
100%.
Yeah.
I believe it's time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, so for trivia this week, I found this on the Reddit r Dunder Mifflin subreddit. And it's a long list of questions, but it was put together by a fan. And the premise is, my friends wanted to do an office trivia night and asked me to put together some questions. This is the list I put together. I'm sure everyone on this sub will win themselves a yogurt lid medal with all of their correct answers.
Oh,
anyways, cool. Enjoy, and I will post answers in the comments. So we're just going to run through really quickly. Okay. Let's see how we do.
Love it. Internet quiz.
What does David Wallace invent to become a multimillionaire?
Suck it!
Yeah, don't call me. Hey. This is a civil show.
It's the patent of the technology, not the actual product.
The U.S. Army is interested.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a toy that... Or it's a vacuum cleaner that cleans up toys.
Zoop.
Yeah. That's not David Wallace. That's an evil man that lives
in... That is such a...
Yeah.
They shoot it like a horror movie. It's so good.
What sports would Michael recruit Oscar for?
I will give you a call come baseball season or boxing.
What was the worst part about prison for Prison Mike?
The Dementors.
No, not Harry Potter.
Not.
No, not Harry Potter.
What does Todd Packer's license plate say?
Well hung.
W.L. Hung.
Oh, you big William Hung fan?
Why does everyone keep saying that?
who is
that?
What is Dwight's first sensei's name?
Sensei.
Oh. I know this.
I do too.
Sensei Jake or something?
No, it's like...
It's funnier
it's
than
like
Jake.
L, no, it's like a... Moira or something like
you're
that.
You're so close.
It's like Moira or like more...
Sensei Ira.
Ira!
Turns out Sensei Ira was kind of a shyster. Most Dang people it. Don't spend 10 years and $30,000 to become a black belt.
Just giving that guy a job for years.
Where does Roy leave Pam on one of their first dates?
Hockey game.
Minor league hockey game. What is Toby's daughter's name?
Ooh. I've looked this up.
I've
so
definitely known this before.
It's Chrissy?
No.
No.
There was an NBA player who had this name, last name Vujicic.
Sasha?
Sasha.
Oh,
I
wow.
knew it was Sasha. Gosh darn it.
That was my clue.
I knew it
Never
was Sasha.
That,
what kind of cancer is Kevin afraid he has?
Skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What brand of chips do Jim and Karen...
Hers.
Hers. Salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Who does The Office have a debate over who is hot or not, and what is the verdict?
It's
Hillary
Swank. Mm-hmm.
And what is the verdict?
Hot.
She's hot as heck. Vote.
Yeah. Hot as heck.
Or, Angela says that because Kevin deserves to lose. But,
right,
but Michael
right.
is the deciding vote.
Right.
What is Michael's favorite vacation destination?
Sandals, Jamaica.
For sure. There are a lot more of these, so I'm going to run through them.
Okay.
Who would Stanley rather work for than Dwight or Andy?
An upturned broom with a bucket for a head.
I think it nice. Was a mop.
A print mop? No, I think it's broom.
Oh, maybe.
Or is it mop? I don't know.
I could be wrong. Right. What is the name of the family company Dwight and Michael end up running out of business?
Prince Family Paper.
What was Roy saving up for but had to use the money to fix the bar he destroyed?
Jet skis.
What kind of cake does Andy want for his birthday?
Fudgy the Whale.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's another great Creed moment.
The
cobbler
God,
exchange.
Yes.
Yes, we've played that on the show before.
Of course, but at the end, when Michael comes back and he says, "Happy birthday to Creed," right?
Yeah. skip around the room.
Skip around the room. And Creed's face when he starts to skip around the room. So funny.
So funny.
How many vasectomies has Michael had?
Three.
Two.
I think.
And a reversal.
You have no idea the toll
three vasectomies
okay. has on a person.
I thought he was counting the reversal. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Scott's username for online dating.
Little Kid Lover.
What is Jan's assistant's name?
Hunter.
Mifflin.
Hunter.
What does Michael eat before the fun run?
Fettuccine Alfredo.
What country does Kevin represent in Diversity Day?
Jamaica.
Yeah, I think you do.
I think
you do,
man.
What? Maybe some spaghetti.
Maybe
he's
some
Italian.
Spaghetti.
Yeah. What song does The Office learn CPR to?
Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. First I was afraid, I was petrified.
Yeah.
What is Michael's morning drink of choice?
Milk and sugar.
How much does Dunder Mifflin buy out the Michael Scott Paper Company for?
$60,000? That's their first offer, but then it's a multi-million dollar buyout because they hired.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
What body part is Dwight insecure about? Oh, this is good.
Oh, his nose.
Yeah.
It's too small for his head.
Did you sneeze it off? All right, no more. What CD animal does Andy consume at Gabe's glee party?
Seahorse. Mm-hmm.
What item does Dwight end up with at the end of the Dunder Mifflin garage sale?
The pack of beans. Magical beans.
What is it? Mr. Copperfield's Miracle Legumes.
Miracle Legumes, nice. Yeah.
Who takes over from Michael after he leaves?
That would be D'Angelo. Yeah. Demetrius Vickers.
Mm-hmm. What?
Jeremetrius.
Oh, here you go. What movie did Creed borrow from Kevin that, according to Jim, Kevin will never get back?
Whoa.
Wanted?
Know. No, it's American Pie 2.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
His favorite James McAvoy film is Wanted, though.
It's from that episode of Michael's birthday when they're doing shopping for Kevin. What is Kevin's favorite lunch?
Kevin's favorite lunch. I don't know.
Cup of noodles. They're like, we're going to buy him 69 cup of noodles because it's his favorite number, also his favorite lunch. What is Kevin's band's name?
Kevin and the Zits or Scrantonicity or Scrantonicity 2.
Scrantonicity 2 at the wedding. What food item does Kevin use to suddenly know how to do complex mental math?
Cookies.
There's a lot of Kevin
questions
in here.
It's pies.
It's pies.
Yeah. Huh? Why is Kevin unsure whether or not he should go to the bathroom at Jim and Pam's wedding?
Is it
because he'll miss the...
Why is Kevin unsure whether or not he should go to the bathroom? He's like, Oscar, I need to decide if I have time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Because it takes a long time to put his shirt back on.
His tie back
on.
Yep.
How fast does Dwight run past the radar gun outside the office? That's
tough. I think he hits 14.
Yes.
And Michael hits 15.
Michael hits like 31.
Right.
31.
Right, but someone else hits.
Beat it.
And he goes, 31 is humanly impossible. Beat it, Oscar. How do you do this card?
First you step to the right and you shake that hand. And you step to the left and you shake that hand. You make new friends. You tie some yarn. That's how you do the scarn.
What does Michael want Pam to rub on his foot after grilling his foot?
Vaseline.
No.
Aloe vera?
Butter.
Butter.
Oh, God.
No. I have country crock. What books would Dwight take on a desert island?
Is it one of them as a survival manual or like a...
Physician's desk reference. Call it out. Inside. Space blanket. Flashlight. What line of work is Phyllis's husband Bob in? There's like another 20 of these.
Oh, geez. Vance Refrigeration.
Uh-huh.
We know that.
Who takes Jan's position after she is fired?
Ryan.
What actor does Michael believe has moved into his condo complex?
Johnny Depp.
Yep. How many years has Michael been in Dunder Mifflin when the show aired?
8.
Yeah. I would have said like 15. It's kind of indeterminate.
Yeah.
Know?
Right.
What is Pam's favorite yogurt flavor? That's a good one.
Blueberry.
So
no, mixed berry.
Mixed berry. Jim said mixed berry. He's on to me. Yep. What is Michael's cologne of choice?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Night Swept.
Whoa.
Remember he rubs the little straws on him?
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
Like, it's like my Dracar Noir. This says Night Swept. It's a perfect smell alike. What does Kevin win a gold medal in the Office Olympics for?
M&M's in the mouth.
Yeah, no one else should even try. Who invented Dunderball?
That's Toby and somebody else.
Toby and Jim?
I would go with Toby because they're like, Toby, you should go talk to Toby about Dunderball. What do Oscar and Kevin call their paper football game they play at their desks?
Hate ball because Angela hates it.
Who talks himself out of getting fired on Halloween?
Creed.
What candy bar does Angela get Dwight? That's a good question. I think it's Dwight gets payday? Angela. I think Dwight gets it for Angela.
Mm. Not a payday.
I don't know.
Big Hunk?
I don't know. Do you what like candy? Because you're sweeter than candy. He says that he has his concussion. Yeah.
100 grand?
I'm not sure. Uh-uh. Who ends up with the video iPod at the end of Christmas party?
Well, Pan. No, she trades. She trades it to Dwight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
For the teapot. Duh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What date does Roy suggest for him and Pam to get married on the booze cruise?
June 12th.
June 10th.
Oh, we just did this. Yeah, that was in the trivia.
Where does Jim decide to go on his international trip so we can skip
New
Roy
Zealand?
Pam's
oh wait, no, Australia.
Yeah, Australia. What is Harvey? What is oh man? What does Michael name his computer when he uses it to speak to Jim and Pam?
Harvey.
I started to say Harvey.
Yeah.
What part's Native American does Michael claim to be?
3/15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Meredith's original job at Dunder Mifflin?
I don't know.
Solitaire consultant,
I think. Who all has slapped Michael? That's a good question.
Oh wow, Pam.
Kelly.
Kelly. I feel like
Dwight,
maybe, yeah.
Dwight must have at some point. Does Jan ever slap him?
Maybe.
With her words.
Hmm.
How much money would Michael have to donate to Oscar's nephew's charity if he ran the same miles the first year he ran?
That sounds like a math
100,000.
It's like 600 bucks or something like that. Who suggested better? Oh, this is a good one. Who suggested better outreach for employees fighting depression?
Tom.
Yeah.
That guy was
Michael,
weird.
What is Michael's order for pretzel day? Last three.
One with everything?
The works.
Yeah.
What is Dwight's final score in his competition against the computer? That's tough.
Oh, he beats him by like, it's like 900 and some 18 reams to 900.
I want to say it's like 2000 something to 19.
Oh, it's
something.
Like that. Whoa. High. Okay. Yeah.
And then what character won a World Series of Poker tournament?
Kevin.
Yeah.
He's got a bracelet.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, that concludes this week's very long trivia, but fun,
you know,
challenging,
what?
And unique.
Yeah,
we've
good.
We've gotten feedback that trivia should be longer, so yeah. That's for you, Ellie, if you're listening.
So give us some feedback. That
and this episode was for you, Logan. Thank
yes.
you again.
Yeah, Logan thanks, is Logan. The man. Don't smoke.
Yeah, guys, you can be just like Logan and give us a call and leave us a question or a comment. You can call our number. That's 503-694-9314. You can check us out on the social medias. That's at Michael Scott Pod on Twitter, at Michael Scott Podcast Company on Instagram and Facebook. And you can email us questions at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com.
Ho!
Thank you guys so much for listening. And join us next week when we talk again about our favorite show, The Office.
It's Kismet.
Bibbidi Poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir. And everybody knows I'm crazy about you. Just can't stop thinking about my love. Our love. I thought I'd never see a reason to feel. But here I stand, spinning and reeling with love. Spinning and reeling with love. Whoa.
Wait, 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 wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.